a scale of 1 to 10, how much does Brad Marchand annoy you?
11, easily.
This guy never fails to impress or unimpress. So
it's actually both impress and unimpress.
Oh my God, brutal. So last week, he appealed his suspension, 6-game suspension for, what was it, spearing Tristan Jarry in the mask?
Yeah, in the but face? It was kind of he went like through his mask. A gladiator battle that he decided to enact.
So good. One good thing is that Gary actually decided to uphold it. I mean, there's a lot of discussion of people saying that maybe it didn't warrant a 6-game suspension, but it's Brad Marchand and is a repeat offender, and the NHL does this all the time, and I think it was the right thing to do. But to start the show, I want to grab a little quote. So this is Gary Bettman's ruling. So he did his whole report on it being upheld. This is my favorite part from it. So it says, and I quote, "No active player has been suspended more times than Mr. Marchand. This is his 8th suspension. In addition, he has been fined 4 times for physical fouls. Although the on-ice penalty calls that resulted in supplementary discipline have varied in their specifics, all have involved serious violations, including elbowing, slew-footing, clipping, roughing, spearing, cross-checking, and now high-sticking. It is, to say the least, an unenviable record. And again, to make matters worse, Mr. Marchand's most recent suspension prior to this one occurred less than 3 months ago when he was suspended 3 games. That was the slew-foot on, was it on OEL? I know it was against the Canucks. I think it was OEL.
Yeah, I think it was on OEL.
I love this quote. The best, the list just keeps rambling on and on and on. It's just funny to list hear everything that gets listed. But doesn't it clear? I think they clear the past offender thing. I think after like 18 months, your record's clean, so you can't get convicted. You can't get suspended as a repeat offender. Like when they,
I think it does. But it's like unofficially cleared. It's like it's clear, but it's like we still know like who you are. Like yeah, Kadri did it multiple times in the playoffs, and like his suspension just kept getting larger. I don't think his record was cleared.
Well, I think when he got suspended in the bubble, I'm pretty sure that they said the whole thing about the 18 months. I think that was one thing.
Wow. But he still got like 3 games.
I think he got more, didn't he?
For the Leafs, I think he got 3.
I'm saying the bubble.
Oh, so for the Avs.
Yeah, I think it was like 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, he lost.
It was something like that. That was
even just last year. He missed the entire series, and he could have broke that series
last year. Did he?
Yeah,
he got suspended in the bubble and last year.
Yeah, that's why there's all these trade rumors on Nazem Kadri, and they were like, oh man, maybe he's gonna get traded. And then the Avs are like, Sakic like kind of spoke up for him, and he's like, no, like we believe in them. And that's why this year, like he's proved everybody wrong because like he's just going off. Turned into like basically a first line center almost.
I thought he got, so maybe it wasn't the bubble, maybe it was last year that I was thinking of.
I think
maybe
because he might have been both, but it was definitely last year.
I only remember him getting suspended once in the bubble, or sorry, as an Av, wasn't it?
Yeah,
maybe it was last year. Maybe I'm just mixing up some years.
Maybe
so. My question is to you because we didn't get to talk about it when they first ruled it the 6 games before he appealed it and everything. Was 6 games too much?
I don't think so, but like it depends, I guess, how you see it. Like if you're gonna take in like that repeat offender thing, it definitely is, because like that's like basically how we got 6 games. But like in the end, like it's just not a hockey play. It's just like a useless, like the whistle was basically blown thing. Like he just goes to him, like hits him for no reason. It's just, I know like Marchand, like he likes to be an agitator, he likes to get under guys' skin, but like there's ways to do that without being this, like without doing things like this.
Yeah, especially if you want to provoke these guys, if you want to help, you know, keep this out of the game, then you have to, especially for repeat offenders and for guys that have the history, you got to slap down the 6 games, yeah, whatever it takes, because these guys aren't going to learn any different. That's a big thing. It was after the whistle, and it has like, it's not a hockey play. A lot of the stuff he does isn't a hockey play, but it was after the whistle moment, and it had nothing to do with the play. I think because it was Frank Cervelli tweeted this. He said everyone wanted to know what Jarry said to make him punch him in the face. Marchand testified, according to the ruling, Jarry said, "How about that effing save?"
Yeah, like.
And if you're Jarry, you're smart. Did he get a penalty on that play? Did they call anything?
I don't think so.
Of course they didn't. I feel like they did, though. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But it's brutal. That, like, especially if you're Jarry, obviously that was planned. Like, you know the guy, especially a guy like Marchand, you get under his skin, you're going to agitate him. It's so easy to provoke him. But the thing is, when it comes to the Bruins, a lot of the times it goes uncalled.
Yeah. It's just,
and now
it's
Char is
so
not there to protect them either. And he got a lot away with a lot of stuff. So,
It's just so annoying. Like, Marchand is just, I feel like there's like three types of players. There's like a player who's like goes like always, like his entire career will go like completely under the radar. Like, no one will know who he is, even though he's like a really good player. Like, Barkov is like my example so far. Like, everybody knows who he is, but like, he doesn't do like.
That's changed though.
Yeah. But, and then there's like a player, like, he'll be like a bit of both. Like, he has some animosity, but like, he's not like Marchand. And then there's like the Marchand. Like, he has his own class of player. He's such a good player, but like, he like decides to like ruin his reputation by like doing stuff like this.
I think if you can add another tier to that, but you take away, you don't look at the skill aspect. Although this player does have skill, but like, obviously not Marchand. But then you got the Tom Wilsons. That's an even another extreme.
Oh yeah, those are like the goons. But yeah, like, but Marchand isn't like, sorry, Tom Wilson isn't a goon. He's like mid tier player, like top six winger, but he's more of like a. He's like a Hyman combined with skill.
Almost, he could have actually legitimately almost killed Panarin if he slammed him on the ice the wrong way.
Like, those are the things they're trying to get out of the game.
Did his head hit the ice?
Yeah. He slammed him directly and his head hit.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, because he got a concussion. He was out for the rest of the year.
If he had no helmet on, like, you don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. If, let's say they're tussling and his helmet flies off. Mm-hmm. He crashes towards the ice, and it wasn't just like, you know, kind of just skated by him, a little nudge. No, he full on grabbed him and slammed him.
Yeah.
Like, that's other extreme. Like, Tom Wilson's even worse than Marchand. That's like a whole other spectrum, but it's just ridiculous.
But like, that's the whole point of all like these suspensions and like the NHL player safety. They're trying to keep players safe. What Marchand is doing is like, it's just like a dumb play. Like, it's unnecessary.
And
but some of the other
work.
Hits. The NHL
working.
Player safety, yeah. It's run it's by working. George Parros, a former guy who was the opposite of player safety. Like,
that's
a literal, like, so enforcer.
Sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I don't understand how even, like, Wilson, he didn't even get that suspension. He got that $5,000 fine.
Yeah.
These guys, the big thing with these suspensions is that these guys will lose a good chunk of game checks, right? Like, I don't know how much money Marchand lost. I can search up how much money Marchand lost.
But like, for them, it's not a lot of money. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I
wonder how much money he's lost over his entire career.
It's still just a drop in the bucket for what he makes. Yeah. Although, well, Marchand doesn't make as much as
most. Yeah, it's a
team-friendly
deal.
Yeah. Which is nice.
This is... Oh, this when he got suspended in November. Does this say... Oh, my God. He has now forfeited $971,397.61 in salary.
It's almost a million
career.
Bucks.
Yeah. Just off suspensions. He's missed a total of 22 games due to punishments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's probably because I'm sure he's been fined, right? Without suspension.
Yeah.
So that's probably including altogether.
But if you actually think about it, like, now it's not as much to him because like he makes $6 million a year because he's like a skilled, and that's still like cheap for him. But like originally when he started, he wasn't like, he was more known just for like kind of like maybe he'll score 20. He was more of just like a third liner.
Yeah, and that's Stanley Cup team too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I still remember the story of when I'm pretty sure it was Claude Julien. He went to Claude Julien and like after they lost, I think it was in the playoffs, and he's like, next year I'm going to score 20. And Claude Julien like laughed in his face. He's like, no way. And then the next year he did score 20. And like but no one was going to remember that about him because he's like, he's being remembered as like the donkey who does stuff like this instead of like a really good player. It's kind of unfair, but just what he's doing to himself.
If you look at his suspension history, I didn't even realize before he got suspended in November, he hadn't been suspended since January 2018. He got five games for elbowing Marcus Johansson.
Wow.
He actually went 3 years. I didn't even realize that.
There you go.
And I'm clearly, this includes playoffs, I'm assuming. I don't know why.
But like going 3 years should not be like a good thing. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like you should not do these types of things. Like,
well, if you bring
go 20
down,
years and retire.
His first suspension was 2011. Then like 8 months later in 2011, December 2011, he got suspended again. Then January 2012, so like a month later, then he didn't get suspended again until 2015. And then he got suspended later in November in 2015. Then
15 was a tough
he
year.
Got a month later, he got, so no, he got fined November 2015. Mm-hmm. Then a month later, he got suspended so December 30th, 2015, he got suspended 3 games for clipping Borowicki. And then 2 years later, 2017, And then a few months later, April 2017, he got suspended 2 games. Okay, but no, in January, the earlier 2017 that I said, he only got fined 10,000. Mm. Wait, I thought max suspensions were 5,000.
It depends on how much you make. So maybe at the time he made less, really? Or made more. It all depends. Yeah, like it's the maximum allowable under the CBA. So like if say you're a player who makes like the rookie deal, they're not gonna fine you 5,000 because that's like a chunk of your salary.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of like if these guys don't get fined and they get suspended, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
They lose all that money. But yeah. It's funny because they talked about on the SDP. Steve said if that was the playoffs, he wouldn't get suspended at all.
Yeah, that's still the problem they have. The playoffs have different rules.
Yeah, and they play lacrosse instead of hockey. Lacrosse rules, basically.
And I'm interested to see what they'll do this year, because every year they always introduce like something like that they're gonna like kind of like watch guys more on. This year was cross checking. They said they're hammering down on cross checking. And I guess to their credit so far, like they've been pretty good. There's been a few that they've missed, but most games I've watched, like they'll call cross checking like at all times now. But in the playoffs, will they call it? And like that's what we'll have to see.
Listen, at the end of the day, you have human refs. There's going to be human error, right?
Yes.
It's going to happen. But there's a difference between human error and then completely changing the rule book when April comes or April or May comes around. Like, they're completely different stories. Even with what was it? It was last year, right? McDavid didn't get draw one penalty during that playoff.
And he was getting angry.
Playoff run. Yeah. And how do you not call the best player in the world? You're telling me he didn't draw one penalty? The entire, four games. It was only four games.
But and still. the thing he was most mad about was the hacking and the slashing, because in the regular season, even like the lightest of taps, like a flick on a wrist, like they will call you for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the playoffs, McDavid was getting more than a flick on the wrist. And
that's why you see McDavid the last few years, he's been retaliating. He's been checking guys like nice, but like dropping the shoulder. Yeah. And so what's the point of suspending these guys? Right, you know, guys like Marchand, Wilson, these handing down these suspensions, trying to discipline, but then this results not, especially in playoff time, but even during the season, sometimes McDavid gets frustrated. So it's like you're kind of telling these players you have to take this upon yourself. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of, it feels like you're trying to force it into their own hand, like into their hands.
Like you guys handle this yourself. But
yeah, that's what you're trying to prevent.
Exactly. Like as good as they are, maybe it's happened so fast, they shouldn't be able to handle all these things. And that's what players, NHL player safety is for. And they don't do a very good job of protecting all the players, especially like the star players kind of take the brunt of like the abuse on some physical plays. And that's why those are the ones getting angry. Like McDavid takes all this abuse. Crosby was like known as like a whiner in kind of like his first few years. Now look at Crosby kind of beefed up a little bit and now he can dish it out himself.
But even Crosby's a lot more disciplined now. Like you can do whatever you want. He's probably not going to retaliate.
It's a bit of both. They should learn how the NHL player safety has to get better at calling certain things like cross checking, slashing, and like the playoff calls. But additionally, like some of the players also have to adjust like to the playoff hockey because it is a lot more physical.
Yeah, they're like two separate games.
It shouldn't be that much difference. It should be slightly different. But
look at the Habs. Yeah. They won on that run because it's a completely different game when May comes around.
One of their more recent trades would have been the Calgary Flames trade. They traded with the Habs. They traded for Tyler Toffoli. And, well, this was definitely an interesting trade to me because, the Habs are basically, they're starting to rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it. And, like, they're trading away some of
their... I don't know if they're going to re... Do you think they're going
to... I feel like it's more of a retool.
Yeah, because they're not... This is kind of like the Islanders, but even more extreme. They're not this bad. Like everything has gone wrong. Whatever could have gone wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like plus, everything.
Yeah. No some guys Price, have progressed. No Weber. Some guys are injured and everything else has gone wrong. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I mean, a guy like Toffoli, he was hurt for a few months, but even, a guy, what did he have? 28 last year and 56 or whatever he played.
He was on like a 40 goal pace. If it was 82, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, he wasn't going to sustain that anyways, but no. I don't even think he was having a bad year. But when you get Nick Suzuki to play top power play, top line, top penalty kill, I don't know, what is he, 21? How old is Nick Suzuki? He's like 21.
So he drafted 2017.
When you put that much responsibility on a guy that young, and he's not he's not, you know what I mean? Like, obviously a guy like, I mean, McDavid doesn't really play much of a defensive game, but you give that much responsibility to a guy that young. Yeah, he's improved. But when you give that much responsibility to a guy that young, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, he's 22.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, makes but, sense. But, like, for the trade itself, like, okay, Toffoli, like, okay, even if we just go off what he is this year, not last year, he's, like, he's a top six winger, easily. Like, he'll score 20 goals normally. Last year, like, he was ridiculous, but he's a 20-goal shooter at least, and which is fine. But he was traded for, like, a haul. Like, he was traded for, like, a similar to the Eichel deal haul. They got, I'm pretty sure they got a prospect, a first round pick, and another pick.
Yeah, and like, I think a fifth round pick from 2020.
Yeah, was? And like, And like, I know that like it's trade, like it's near trade deadline, and prices always rise up at the trade deadline. But like, for like,
you're gonna pay a premium.
Yeah, but like,
it's just the way it is.
Is it worth it for Calgary? Like, I know they need some scoring, but like, not that much.
It's a good contract because he's under contract for 2 more years. No. I think it's 2 more years.
Okay, so it's, I guess in that aspect,
it's not bad. It's a good deal. Yeah. He's making 5.5. He's making something around there.
Yeah, they do damage in the playoffs. I think it's
4.25, and he's under contract for another after this year, 2 more years.
Yeah,
so it's good. It's not a rental.
Yeah,
that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a good contract because this is a COVID contract, so it's a little bit lower.
Yeah,
right. Then if he hit free agency now, he'd probably make around like 5.5 or 6.
Exactly.
So I think it's a good deal. I mean, the prospect, he was a 2020 fifth rounder. You got Pitlick. Yeah. Heinemann. I think it was a 2024. Oh no, wait. Yeah. The 2024 fifth with that and a 2022 first, which is top 10 protected anyways, but it's not going to be in the top 10. They're going to make the playoffs in that division.
They already are. I think they're the second spot right now, but it's so close. They could easily fall up and down, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good deal. Especially because that contract is a good cheap deal. But the thing is, they're not even playing him top 6 minutes.
They're either. Not.
He's on the third line. No, he's on the third line.
And Sutter's weird with his lines, but I think he'll be fine.
Who's going to change line? Too?
Is it Mangiapane?
Well, maybe that's their first line's Goodrow, Lindholm, Tkachuk.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Their second line's Mangiapane, Backlund, Coleman.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he's I would put Toffoli over Coleman.
Yeah, he's playing. You know why? Because I think Backlund and Coleman have been playing well together. That Backlund, Mangiapane, Coleman line. So he might be playing the second and third line similar minutes.
Yeah, it's weird. The second line sounds like a third line, and the third line sounds like a second line.
Yeah, but I don't understand why Monahan's on that first unit.
That doesn't make sense. Monahan totally should be on when there. He was with Goodrow a few years ago, he was like a whole different breed. But now all of a sudden he's kind of under Sutter. It just hasn't worked for him.
He's having a bad year. I think he only has
this Sutter's season. Not much faith.
No, yeah, he was point per game pace, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah, with Goodrow, 2 or 3 years ago. Goodrow had like 100 points, and he was right along for the ride, but not anymore.
This year he has 21 points in 48 games.
Yeah, like seven it's not goals. Bad, but I think he's getting paid like a first liner. So
no, oh yeah, I think he's making six. And
he makes the Marchand. He makes Marchand money, which is not exactly right. But
well, when did he sign that deal? 2 years ago, probably.
Yeah, which is at the time he probably came off like an 80-point season, which is fine.
That was the year.
But Sutter's weird. Like, okay, I get a lot of like 2012 vibes from the Flames, like when the Kings won, when they were like the eighth seed, and like maybe that was the 2012. That was when they were the eighth seed.
Sutter's there.
Sutter, they don't have like superstars, but like they have like really good, like Kopitar, like he was like, I guess at the time he was, but like not really. He wasn't like fully fleshed out, like in his
prime guys yet. Like Dustin Brown.
Yeah. Like that those Gavrik are the types of vibes I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like literally they've made Lucic like good. Like that's all you got to know. Like that's how you know they're going to be good. But they're a playoff team.
Oh yeah. They'll make the playoffs because the division's also awful. That's another
thing. Not even that it's awful. It's just like there's so many teams who like come out like the woodworks, like who you didn't think were going to be good. And now all of a sudden, like it's kind of competitive and kind of like awful at the same time. Yeah. Like the Flames were like always mid-average and now they're like slightly above mid-average.
Well, after last year, they had a disaster year last year. That was in a week, even weaker than the division they're in now.
A lot of their players in off years.
Like right now, they're first in the Pacific now.
Oh, they passed Vegas.
They're 64 points, but they're 4 points close up on Vegas, but they have two games in hand. Oh, they have two games in hand on Vegas.
Yeah, see it?
There 4 points up with two
games in hand. All of a sudden,
they've been good lately.
Main two differences from last year, Goodrow is playing back to normal. Markstrom's playing like a Vezina caliber goaltender, and here we are. First in their division.
Yeah, and I think I think having even going through training camp now, Sutter fully, yeah. I mean, like a coaching change midseason can go one of two ways. You can catch lightning in a bottle, or it can be an absolute disaster. And you need more time to kind of gel everyone and get everyone used to the system and exactly. get the players committed. And that's what this was.
Lightning in a bottle seems to happen more often, but
yeah,
the disaster kind of happens occasionally. Like the Sutter was the example. But like this year, if you think about it, Boudreaux got lightning in a bottle with the Canucks. The Woodcroft is like, they've already won 5 in a row with Edmonton. Although it wasn't against the best of competition, but still counts. We'll still see.
It's better than what they were doing before.
And then it happened with the Leafs. Sorry, say again?
No, they really doesn't make a difference, because when Thing was in there, it would before the coaching change, it really didn't make much of a difference because they were losing those games too. So,
yeah, well, like if anything, like they're getting depth scoring now, and like that's all Ooh. That's what they needed.
The Oilers are back in the spot now. I didn't even realize. It makes sense.
They're on a roll.
They're tied. Yeah, they're tied with the Kings with the game in hand.
I still don't trust their defense, but like they had guys there, and now those guys are playing their roles. Heim, like if you think after McDavid and Draisaitl, Fogo is like a good player in Carolina. Like he's a top six, maybe top nine winger.
And Evander Kane helped too.
Evander Kane signing was big, although it's still not welcomed.
Yeah, even everything surrounding that, now everything kind of calmed down.
Like a Hyman, Puljujarvi, Nuge, there's guys. Like they have players. It's not like they're good forwards. Their forward core is not bad. Not as bad as it was in previous years when Tyler Ennis was on the first line. They've made work there. But the defense still isn't it.
Yeah. So yeah, even another trade that was made at the time of this recording last night.
Yeah.
The Leafs finally got their guy. Their guy.
We'll see.
It's what they need, right? So that deal was Lyubushkin. So it was Coyotes, Leafs, Lyubushkin. There's an option, right? There's a condition on that pick. I think it's a 2022 third or 2025 second.
2023 third or 2025 second.
2023 third. Yeah, 2025 second. And the Leafs, and they got Dzingo, who they put on waivers now anyways. And they finally got rid of that Nick Ritchie deal. I think it's funny that this deal this deal happened after their game last night with that big blow up but they did not look good against St. Louis. They did not play good. I mean, I think the trade was probably already lined up. So it's Dubas kind of overreacting and just making knee jerk reaction after a loss. I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works.
At the second intermission, Elliot Friedman reported that Ilya Lyubushkin had been scratched because like this trade was already in place. Like it was a done deal pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. But no, this is a good deal. They finally had to get that Nick Ritchie contract off the books. The best part is that they retained nothing. You thought that Nick Ritchie, you're going to have that in a sweetener, but you got something back.
Yeah.
Like, Lyubushkin's what they need. A boring defenseman, second or third pair, that'll take away scoring chances. You don't need to generate any offense. For what? No. You have so many guys. You don't need to generate. Listen, if at the end of, like, last year, people were saying, oh, they should have traded for Taylor Hall. They should have done it. They should have done it because they're scoring. At the end of the day, if this team, this core, they have this forward group, can't get it done, can't produce in the playoffs, adding something, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because if those guys don't produce, then you're not going to go anywhere anyways.
Yeah, but I think...
yet.
Yeah. But I think the way they did it, it's kind of worked out so far. Like, they haven't overreacted too much. They didn't go out for guys like Taylor Hall last year. And I actually say their depth, like, up front is better than it was last year. They have like a third line now. And like, I think this is the same thing they did in the offseason. They bought low on some guys. They bought low on Bunting. They bought low on Kampf, even Kasha, who's like maybe an injury risk. And all those guys kind of worked. Kasha's become like a very good, kind of tertiary option. Bunting's been an incredible steal. And Kampf is doing exactly what he does. He's a third line.
On another year, too.
Exactly.
One more year on that deal.
Richie was the only one maybe that didn't hit home. But like 3 out of 4, it's not bad. So,
and now you got rid of that deal. You kind of offloaded it. I think Arizona's probably going to buy him out in the summer because I think cap penalty is only like 300K anyways. They only have like 4 or 5 guys under contract. It's actually ridiculous.
Yeah. Worst case, something he just gets like to that. Play like in the NHL. Like he came here, he got his confidence like ruined because he couldn't score for his life. He finally scored, but like he just wasn't like impacting the game very good. He got bumped to the fourth line. It just wasn't working out. I think he was playing in the Marlies for a few games, and like some of the kids were like trying to like help him. They're like they're trying to get his spirits up. Like it's just It's just devastating for him.
I think he got benched at the end of the game too the other night.
The Marlies?
Yeah. I saw a tweet.
Maybe he was getting traded. Maybe that's why they benched him.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, next year, I think I'm trying to look at their cap friendly right now, the Coyotes. They only have how many guys? Where's the breakdown? I'm trying to look at. Yeah, they have Richie under contract. Gunther. Oh, they actually do have. Okay, they have a few guys, but I think these are a lot of non-roster. Oh, these are non-roster guys. Never mind. The only guys they have under contract are Keller. That's a guy you build around. Kessel's up. Erickson's up. Schmaltz is locked in. Ladd is locked in. Or no, Ladd's that he's on his.
Andrew Ladd's contract LTIR. Finally ended. No, he's playing. No,
next year. Next year. He's playing. Oh yeah. No, I'm thinking of wrong. Yeah, yeah. No, he's next year. You got one more year.
Time ago,
5.5. Yeah, yeah. Everyone else is a UFA, and then Chikrin's. If he gets traded, who knows? Gostisbehere has another year. Moser has two more. They have like six guys under contract. Like it's ridiculous.
They're rebuilding. They're full on tanking. Like they're not hiding it. Like they just traded for Nick Ritchie. They just traded for a pick in like 2025. Like they're tanking. They want a high pick, and maybe it'll work out. Like maybe Richie will like just get to play games there, and like he'll get some confidence, and then he'll get signed a contract somewhere else in the offseason. They'll probably buy him out.
Yeah, no, I think if they're smart, they buy him out. And listen, if you're gonna rebuild, you do it right. Right? Yeah. They have three firsts this year. They have conditions on two of them. I'm not sure what the conditions are.
It's fine. Theirs will be at least in the top five, their own.
Yeah, they have the Avs pick this year. It's top 10 protected. The Coyotes will receive their 2023 first instead, but it won't be in the top 10, obviously. So they'll get Colorado's first, which is probably a late pick. And then the Montreal trade, they got Montreal's first, but that's... Wait. Oh, it's the better of Montreal or Carolina's because that was the Dvorak deal.
Does not look good either.
Either or both are top 10 picks, then Montreal will instead transfer to Arizona the worst of Montreal or Carolina's 2022 first. So they're just going to get the worst of whatever pick that is. They're not going to get the Habs pick, obviously. But then they have 5 seconds. So they have three firsts, 5 seconds this year. Then they have their own third, their own fourth, their own fifth, their own sixth, and they don't have their seventh. And then next year, it really thins out next year. So that's probably what they're going to be training for this year. That's those assets they're going to get. They have their own first, second. They have the Islanders third. Oh, this is on the Ladd trade. Yeah, it's on the Ladd trade because it says it has a condition on it. It says if Ladd plays in any professional games in 2022, 2023 under his current contract or retires prior to the conclusion of the 2022-23 regular season, then the pick is not transferred to Arizona.
Look at that.
So assuming he plays next year, if he's playing now, barring any injuries, knock on wood, then he'll probably be gone. And then they have like the Nux seventh, but other than that, they have all their own picks the rest of the way. And that's it.
Yeah, I guess.
If Arizona, for a long time, they teetered in the middle. Like at the end of the day, if you're not contending, but a team with them, like they don't get attendance either. So I guess I understand why they pushed for just like a little playoff run, try and get a few more games.
They did their best with what they had.
Yeah.
They're finally trying to like properly rebuild. Like I guess the goal is in any rebuild, like get your own picks, like the top five ones, top 10 ones, like those you should hit on most of the time. And then it's like the second rounds, the third round picks like that they have like a ridiculous amount of. If they hit on a few of them. Those are their second and third liners that are going to play at the team eventually, you'd hope, or guys you're going to trade for second and third liners eventually. So that's the plan, and it's their time to use it.
And for the Leafs, I mean, when you have like four guys making, you know, half your cap, a guy like Richie doesn't work, especially for next year. Thank God they got that contract off the books. But I'm trying to think of what the lines are going to look like. Obviously, Lyubushkin's going to slot in. Right now, Liljegren's down. But now, at the time of this recording, Dzingel's been sent down. He's see if he clears waivers. He probably will. At 1.1, but at least whether or not he's claimed, they'll be able to completely bury the cap hit. So that's fine.
Yep.
That works out good. At least they save another 1.1. You got rid of Richie. You cleared up some room. I think that two possible outcomes. If Sandin remains in the minors, once Dzingel clears or is claimed, Leafs have $2.5 million free by the trade deadline. So question is, do they make another move?
I think so, because right now, technically, if they're saying they have 2.5 million, they have 8 defensemen right now. They don't need 8 defensemen. And Dermott has already been in and out of the lineup. Okay, so say Labushkin, even if he slots in like at third, at the 60. So that means Logan is like the odd man out. You don't need Dermott. You still have Clifford as your spare forward. Like, you can get anything you want. Like, you actually have depth at every position, technically, especially if Dzingel clears waivers. So maybe you get another like defenseman, maybe you throw in a pick or something, but like, it's not bad.
But do you use him as a Justin Hall replacement? That's another thing. Because Lushin? Justin Hall has been, yeah, because he's been very up and down. So do you give Liljegren a chance in that case, right?
You could.
We can look at it. I say you sit Justin Hall for a little bit, let him sit in the press box, you know, for a few games once Labushkin gets here, once that kind of gets underway. But I think give him some time to kind of reflect, look back, see where he can improve, let him, and, you know, see how he does in practice during the week. Just, you know what I mean? Like, he needs a little bit of a kind of mental, a little mental break.
They kind of did at the beginning of the year where Hall yeah. missed a lot of games, but he's kind of played a little bit better recently, but like, it's still not where he was last year. And maybe last year was just an outlier, but now all of a sudden.
What is he now? 28? 29? I think he's 30, actually.
Yeah.
When he came up, he was a really late bloomer. I think he 27 or 28 when he kind of got his first call-up, but like actually stayed up.
Mm-hmm.
I
was reading this article before and was saying how what Keefe said after the game yesterday, and like sorry, after the trade, and he's basically like, Justin Hall's played a lot of tough minutes for us. Jake Muzzin's played a lot of like tough minutes for us lately. Like, he hasn't looked the best, but he's taken on a little bit more than he should. And it basically said, and like, I think this trade will help. So I think maybe the goal here could be for Labushkin to play with Muzzin and say, now
have that shut down.
Labushkin's big. Like, he's 6'2", 200. He plays like 18 minutes a night in Arizona. That's what they need.
That's what they need. They need to be tougher. That's exactly. The thing they're missing. We see this every single year. Last year, it looked like they did get a little bit tougher, but that made no difference.
Yeah.
But if you're playing a Florida or a Tampa and you got two guys parked in front of the net, you got to move those bodies or else you're going to get burned.
Yeah. And then who knows, maybe Justin Hall on the third pair is better than playing second pair. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
You can shelter the third pair. They've basically sheltered Sandin and Liljegren this year when they've played there. And okay, Sandin doesn't need to be sheltered as much. He's looked good to me, but then Hall could essentially fall to the third pair and Liljegren could be in and out.
Does Dermott come out?
Oh, Dermott's not in for me at all. I think Dermott should just get traded. Yeah. Like, just free cap space.
Yeah,
like,
but
he's useless to me.
But I mean, Dermott he's still, what is he, 25?
It's too late. Dermott has not.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna I think, but someone will take him.
Yeah, he's a six. But on our team, he's not, because
there's no room.
Sandin is taking a spot. Sandin is younger and has actually already developed better. So
and he's a higher ceiling. Dermott right now would be an eight.
Dermott is the eight, too. He's very expendable.
Yeah,
so you could get something for him, whether it's a pick, a prospect, or an impact player right now. You just get something for him.
Well, how many more years does he have left?
Dermott, I think he signed a one or two year deal, but he signed for like nothing.
He has next year too.
Yeah, he doesn't make
one and a half
per year or total?
One and a half per.
Yeah, so just trade him. Like, what is he doing for us?
Well, it might be an off-season thing too. I mean, I guess if it's playoffs, you know what? At the end of the day, too many bodies isn't a bad thing. Guys go down.
Yeah, there was guys in Tampa I didn't realize who were on the team last year because they only played a few games, but they were there. So
yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of depth. You either have a guy, an AHL level guy come in, or you have at least someone who's NHL level, right? You have Dermott in there. So it's not the worst thing. At the end of the day, unless you have to create that space. That's the only thing. But you're going to have to throw in a pick, probably. Exactly.
But if they're going to have 2.5 million of cap space, like you say, they don't necessarily have to do it.
So what else do you trade for then? There's not much room. Like the way I see it is they needed someone to replace Justin Hall.
Yeah.
Because playoff time, if you're playing Tampa or Florida, that guy is not gonna, he's gonna not fare well, to say the least. Right? That guy's gonna get burned.
Yeah.
Unless he could pick up his game in the next
sounds far fetched at this point.
Yeah, it's whatever. Four months into the season, and he's had little spurts. Like, he's had
short
flashes. Yeah, you can't depend on that anymore. You need someone better, and Labushkin can address that. But is it going to completely address that? There's some other deal they're going to make. Yeah. It'll be an interesting little next month, but you kind of get closer to the trade deadline. Good, good little trade. At least we got a little something a month before the trade deadline. Hopefully there's going to be a lot more of that, little Toffoli, Labushkin trade. Something to talk about.
Yep. Got to love dipping your toe in the water.
Exactly. So that'll end it for this week. Thanks for listening, and
see you next week.